The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and your truth is JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Record. We're going to get to LAFC and MLS. We are, I promise you, everyone. But we have to talk about the Toronto Blue Jays, because our guest it is going to be in the stadium. She's flying up later today. We think she is, anyway. It's Cara Lang, who is the better half of Ricky Romero, who has a bit of a history, you might say, with the Jays. Let me ask you this. I mean, okay, were you a Jays fan or a baseball fan before you met Ricky?
No. Not like I had maybe been to the Sky Dome one time. We weren't like a really big baseball house. My dad played minor league baseball, but like we weren't.
The fact that you call it the Sky Dome.
When I met him, I like still am trying to learn the rules, honestly.
Really? So like baseball doesn't dominate your household?
Well, it does because my
it does now.
Obsessed. Like my son was at the game last night and he was walking through the concourse. So the entire fourth grade at my kid's school is cheering for the Blue Jays because of my son and Ricky, because he's the Little League coach and he coaches all of the boys in fourth grade and they're all Blue Jay fans. And we took a few of his players, or Ricky took a few of his players to the game last night, and they were walking through the concourse with all the like depressed Dodger fans at the end of the game going like, "Let's go Blue Jays, 6-7, 6-7, let's go Blue Jays." And Ricky's like, I was like trying to put a muzzle on this kid because he doesn't get it. People fight over this stuff. Yeah. Like he has no idea how angry people are. But they were repping so hard.
So is he normally a Jays fan, your son?
No matter what.
Really? That's great.
Die hard. Yeah. And that's he has been for like 4 or 5 years. Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. So you're going to be flying up and you're not sure whether you have tickets just yet.
No, we have not.
We suspect you're going to find some.
Secured tickets, but we're going anyways. We booked a flight for tomorrow morning. We actually booked one and then we realized it was Halloween and we were going to miss Halloween with the kids. And then I made Ricky cancel. And then there were no flights available. And then another one popped up and we were like, Grandma stepped up and one of the aunts stepped up. And so they're going to handle Halloween for us and we're going to go.
Amazing. I don't know, Craig, what happened to the city, do you think, if they win one of the next two games? I remember 92, 93. 93 was in Toronto, right? And it was amazing. The atmosphere on the street was pretty cool, but it was packed. You couldn't move all night long.
That's what's going to happen again.
Yeah,
I was downtown last Friday when they won, and it was magnificent. It was just buzzing. It was quite a nice evening as well. I'm not sure it's going to be that warm Friday or Saturday if it goes to Game 7, but
it's supposed to rain.
It was right. Yeah, it's supposed to rain. Good thing they got a lid on that stadium.
And, yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be something similar that we saw probably with the Raptors in 2019.
Maybe Definitely. Even greater. Maybe even bigger.
Yeah, I think bigger. I mean, I was so into it. I went to a game here at Dodger Stadium, the 18-inning game, and we were the only people in our section. And I have a few videos that my sister-in-law took where I'm like cheering so loud and people are turning around and they're like, who is this chick? She's so obnoxious. But I was so into it. Like, it's just when my kids are like, they will die if they win the World Series. And my parents are rooting so hard now.
Right.
Like we weren't a baseball household, but now it's like, it means so much to everybody. And Ricky as well. Like he's so, so into it. Like people don't understand. It's not just because he played for them. Like he genuinely wants this for the team so badly. He's like a true, true fan.
That 18 inning game, Cara, like I know at Skydome/Rogers Center, I like mentioning Skydome. They stopped serving beer at seventh inning, right?
Oh yeah.
Every park,
at every park like that too in
Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah, thank God, because my brother-in-law did not need it.
Well, that's what I'm like. I'm like, that's a full other game that you're getting hammered at. That's, well, 15 that's why, innings. If so, it, yeah.
Truth be told, we left after the ninth inning because I had my 4 and 6 year old, and they rarely make it to 9 innings as it is. And I was like, I cannot expect them to last for a second baseball game. Like, we've come this far. So leaving that early though meant that we made it home in half an hour, which is like super unusual in LA. And we got to watch the rest of it from the TV. So it was, we didn't stay in the stadium for the whole 18 innings.
We have to make,
what does Ricky say about the fact, I mean, Toronto finished last in their division last year. There, it was just a bang average, below average season for them. And to turn around, it's in the crazy division that they play in, how strong that is, like, and win that and then do what they're doing now.
Yeah. I think so much of it is them committing to Vladdy. That's a big part of it. It's like, okay, this is our identity. This is who we are. Everybody, when you feel like your organization, I mean, I don't want to speak for Ricky, but like, we've obviously had this conversation quite a bit, and he really thinks that turned everything around, because for so long, it's just been like, they don't want to invest in this team the way they really need to win. And they finally have. And like, you give Vladdy his money and look what happens. You know, like, he's reaching his potential. He's being the guy that everybody knew he could be. And he's breaking records in the World Series. And then also, like, Trey Savage, like, we've talked a lot about that. Like, how do you have a pitcher, it's his first season in the big leagues, and he's potentially going to win a World Series. And he just went 7 innings in a World Series game. Like, that's rare in the regular season now for pitchers. They're not letting guys go that deep. And he did it in a World Series game. Like, he's striking out Ohtani. It's just, like, wild to watch. It's so fun. It is.
They're so damn likable. Every element of this team, you got the superstars. Yeah. You got Vladdy, you got Springer. Okay, they're your stars. You got these journeymen, right? Yeah. The only Clements of the world. Then you got this kid, your Savage, who you say is his first season. It's not even his first, like, season.
Yeah, first in the few weeks.
It's three games, three starts, 3 majors.
Yeah, he's got more World Series postseason starts than regular season starts. That's insane.
Because this is such a big Blue Jays intro, we're going to put, instead of Cara Lang, like we normally do, join the pod, it'll be Ricky Romero's wife, Cara Lang.
Great. Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a fan too now, as of this year.
I think it's so great. I mean, we often criticize, you know, North American sports compared to, you know, European, South American soccer, right? We often, and the fan experience. But I haven't been to a Jays game in the postseason. I've been in the regular season. And something's changed there. There's been a switch has been hit. The Sky Dome, Rogers Center, is a great place to watch
baseball now. Well, just the watch-along parties in the Rogers Center are louder than Dodger Stadium is. Like, as soon as the Dodgers start looking shaky, you can hear a pin drop in that stadium. Like, it's just, I think part of it is like, there's a certain type of person who can afford those tickets now. Like, it's not like, are they really true fans versus the people at the Rogers Center? Like, these are lifelong fans, people who are living and dying for this Blue Jays team versus just, you know, a lot of influencers going to the game at Dodger Stadium. Right. So it's like different type of crowd, but it's just speaks to just what the fandom in Toronto is like when they're showing images on TV of the watch along party at Rogers Center, and it's more electric than the actual game here in LA.
I did feel a little bit sorry for Mary Hart's husband when he got hit by the foul ball.
Oh, Mary Hart's husband, John Tesh?
That's what I said in my tweet, and it went down really well. But no, it's not John Tesh, because this guy was very, I don't know, how old is John Tesh now? But this guy was extremely old.
John Tesh is extremely old.
Not this old.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Was Mary Hart there, like, from Entertainment
Tonight?
Yeah,
she's there every game.
She's there every game. And her husband's, I think, he's like 10 years older than her, and she's like 74. So she wasn't too bothered about her husband getting hit with a ball because she actually got it.
Well, she did, yeah. She's holding the ball and laughing. She's like, and they're all treating the poor fella beside her, the husband.
He's like being attended to by the paramedics.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Well, my son was like dying for Vladdy to, him and his best friend were like begging for Vladdy to throw them a ball. And he finally did. And a Dodger fan, I think, caught it. And everybody, all the Blue Jays fans were like, give it to the kid. And he handed it to my son. And then my son turned around and handed it to his best friend. And then they like hugged in the aisle, and it was like this crazy moment.
No way.
Like, I don't have it on camera, but some, like, everybody was like cheering and people were like wiping tears.
So if there's a Venn diagram of anyone who listens to Footy Prime was at the game with Cara Lang and her son, please send us the video at wearefootyprime.com.
There's got to be, because it was a crowd of like Blue Jay fans in one area.
Were they loud in the stadium as well?
Jays
fans?
Yeah.
They weren't intimidated. They were still going at it. That's great.
Yeah. Great. I mean, I think that honestly, it felt like Dodgers fans were shocked. Even my producer for CBS here, like he's producing the Dodger coverage too. And like, they thought it was going to be a sweep. Everybody was like, if there's a game five or if there's not a game five, like we'll do more coverage of this LAFC game that I was covering last night. Like, you know, it was all dependent on if there's a game five. And I was like, there's going to be a game five. Like, what are you guys talking about? You could just tell when we were at the stadium, like the Dodgers fans were shocked that there were even Blue Jay fans in attendance. They didn't even know what to do.
Just before we go to soccer, I put a bet down, more than six games. So that's number one. And number two was Jays win.
Wow. More than six games or six or
more than six games, five and a half or more.
Okay.
And Jays win. So I've got that part now. And now I'm hoping for the Jays winning.
Okay.
And I put $10
for you too.
Yes. Yeah.
You put $2.20 on it.
No. I put $10 down.
Canadian.
So what's $10 going to pay you? If you win this bet, what's $10 going to pay you?
I'll look it up.
Right. I tell you what, though, Wonga, we are definitely going to try and jump on the Jays bandwagon and cut this as a separate video for YouTube.
Yes.
Right. And hashtag the Jays all over
Ricky
it.
This is the Ricky Romero's way.
Yeah, exactly.
Talks about the Blue Jays and Dodgers World Series.
You should have had him come down here first.
Ricky Romero's wife, who used to play a bit of football herself.
I heard this.
About the Jays and their success. There we have it right there. Listen, success also on the other side of the track, so to speak, with the LAFC winning last night 2-1. kind of bit of a stretch there. Beating Austin 2-1. Now it wasn't, I thought they played pretty well actually. They were definitely good value for the win. Sun and Boanga they're good footballers, Gara. And despite the close scoreline, is it a bromance? I keep hearing this bromance thing mentioned in the media from MLS.com to some LA. Is it a real bromance forming between these two guys?
Yeah. I mean, Sun's arrival has changed Boanga's entire almost identity as a player in some ways. Of course, yes, he's still scoring goals and he's still as dominant, but it's added a completely new element where suddenly he's looking for passes that he would never have been looking for before. And there's just a certain trust between the two that is totally because of Sun showing him, like trying to get him his hat trick in that one game where he was like, he had a wide open shot and he's laying the ball off to Boanga, like hoping for him to get his hat trick. And then Boanga begging Sun to take a PK, and like they're going back and forth arguing about who's going to take it. And there's no other player who Boanga would be giving up a PK for. So it's just like, it happened so quickly, but it is a complete transformation. And it is so cool to see because Boanga was already so dominant in this league, but that is an element to his game that he was missing. And it was almost like he would have either have needed to leave the league and go play at a higher level to add that dimension to his game. But by bringing Sun in, it's kind of done the same as it is. Like, it's forced him to become a more multifaceted player. And it's, you know, it's going to serve him and the team for however longer Boanga's here and in the league. And Sun's hopefully here to stay too for a while. So it's just a really cool and really dangerous partnership.
Now, Austin kept them quite quiet for long periods of that game, didn't they? I thought they defend quite well. The problem with them is scoring goals. I would think there's only one team maybe in the league that scored less goals than them.
Yeah, they have one of the worst XGs in the league. They just don't generate very much. Best player, most dangerous player was injured, and now they really have no firepower at all. And it was clear from the very beginning of the game what their game plan was. I mean, you knew even before that they were going to sit deep. They were going to stay compact, stay organized, and hope to catch Hugo Lloris, you know, on a mistake late in the game. And it would have, had that game remained in a tie, it would have really worked in their favor, because if this game's going straight to PKs, which it would in this best of three round, I mean, I pick Brad Stuver over Hugo Lloris at this point in his career in PKs. So it really was looking a little iffy there when it was tied 1-1. But Austin FC, like, it, they, their whole game plan was just to hammer Sun. Every time he got the ball, they were absolutely hammering him. I don't know if you guys saw, but from the first kickoff, Ilya Sanchez, former LAFC captain, ran right through Sun's chest. He didn't even have the ball. He ran right through his chest and put him on his butt. And it was like, oh, it's like just clearly setting the tone. But also, like, Ilya Sanchez is like the nicest guy on the planet. So for him to like be the guy in the locker room who's, who put his hand up and is like, I'm going to take this one for the team. All of South Korea is going to hate me after this. Like, I'm pretty much like, he's just ready to wear it to set the tone and show his team, like, this is what we have to do. And I think it's there. I don't love that that's their approach, but it also kind of is their only option at this point. LAFC is very much the better team. They have so much more quality. It's really the only way they're going to get past them in this best of three. And I mean, they came close. LAFC, I thought they were going to run away with it when they got the go-ahead goal. It was a fortunate redirection by the Austin FC defender, but Ryan Hollingshead did really well. I mean, he's a former forward for UCLA turned defender. He plays wing back. He's got the most goals in the league for a defender at this point in his career. And it was just a really savvy play by him. He dropped his shoulder, took it around the defender, played a dangerous ball across the goal, and he was rewarded for it. Kind of like the rest of the game, it was ugly. Both their goals actually were ugly. You know, their second goal was also just as ugly, but that was kind of just speaks to what the whole game looked like. It wasn't pretty, but they got the job done, and now they have to go into Austin and do the same.
ESPN wrote why, like, the reasons why each team would win. So they went through each team, and for LAFC, they said, obviously, the reason they're going to win is potent offense. The reason they're going to lose and why you wouldn't bet with them is poor back line, is basically in summation. Where do you stand with that?
So I disagree with that. I think that the back line, especially since LAFC switched to a back three with Nkosi Tafari, Porteous, and Segura, they've been very solid. It's not really, like, overall and throughout the season, especially since switching to the back three, I think that their back line is strong. It's more individual mistakes. Like, that goal that they allowed was just a terrible clearance from Nkosi Tafari, who, by the way, is like 6'3" or something. And he could have headed that ball out of bounds, and instead he heads it to Wolf's feet, who is like the best player right now on Austin. And he, instead of shooting, which was a very clever play by him, he lays it off and Gallagher puts it away. And it just was, it was less about Austin's, like, it was against the run of play. It was just, it was less about Austin's ability and more about LAFC's just individual mistake in that moment. And a part of it was, I think they took their foot off the gas. You know, they should have kept going, and Austin's not a team that you want to let grow into this game at all. And that's exactly, like I said, what they were looking for was just to nip them with a mistake. And that's what they did. And had they been able to hold them off any longer, it could have gotten even uglier, I think, for LAFC.
Never easy playing against teams with nothing to lose.
No, well, and that's, it was clearly, you could very much tell that after that first goal by LAFC, it was like Austin all looked at each other and they were like, guys, why not us? Like, we literally have nothing to lose. Why not us? And they just clearly had this like sort of belief that gave them a little bit of a spark. But ultimately it wasn't enough, because you can just see the quality is so much different. LAFC, even though they had those individual mistakes and they weren't finishing their chances, I mean, Timothy Tillman had a sitter inside the 18-yard box where all he had to do was hit it on frame. And I don't even know if it went out on the end line or if it went out on the sideline for how far he missed the goal. Like, that, it was a really bad miss by him. And I mean, had he scored that one, the game would have been put away. And it just, it was
no Cara Lang. Because I saw your Instagram with your little resume of your goals, and I played some ball too.
So my dad like called me, and he's like pretty much was like, "Who's being mean to you on the internet that you feel you need to defend yourself?" I'm like, "Dad, it's a TikTok trend. Like, it's not. That's not what. Like, I'm not. No, you don't get it. Like, just click on the hashtag. You'll see. Like, it's a thing. People are doing
you
it.
Don't need to defend episode. Yourself here.
It was so funny though, because okay. that's remember Craig. Craig, it was your mom or your dad or your sister were upset that we were giving them the gears. And they're like, they're so mean to you on the podcast. We're like, well, that's our, he's our friend.
You're mean to Craig? I can't imagine that.
No.
That's what I said.
That's then. Yeah. It's called good natured banter.
Thank you.
Right.
It's a fine line. From a Canadian angle, Mathieu Soignier gets a start once again. How's he overall? How's he doing there? Is he fitting in every game? Is he a trusted lieutenant in that midfield? Like, where is he at?
I think so. I mean, he's getting the start in their first playoff game of the season. He's definitely worked his way into the midfield as a mainstay. They do have two other midfielders that I personally would like to see. I don't know if it's necessarily in place of Soignier. I would like to see them play alongside him as well. And it's probably unlikely that they're going to completely rearrange their entire midfield in the playoffs right now. Mm. But they brought in two players, Jailson and Andy Morin, who I think are very high quality players and have a lot to offer. I was actually surprised that at least one of them wasn't starting in this game where, especially Jailson, for example, he's just really good with like, everything is on his first touch. It's like one and two touch only. He moves the ball really quickly. And that's more of what LAFC needs right now. I don't think it's not necessarily because of Soignier, but the midfield is LAFC's weak point. So that's something that they're going to need to make adjustments to throughout the playoffs if they want to be able to compete against the best teams in this league, if they can move, you know, past this round and then round after that. So I can't say for sure that I think Soignier will remain as a starter. He's done well, but I was expecting more from him, if I'm honest. He was definitely the trigger for Austin FC's press as soon as he got the ball. That was when they were moving. I'd like to see more from him. The LAFC's midfield that's the area where they're not creative going to goal at all. And that's sort of the missing piece of that puzzle. You've got Bwanga and Sun up front. And in my opinion, a very solid back line. You've got two very strong wing backs in Palencia and Ryan Hollingshead or Artem Smolyakov, who could be in place of Hollingshead as well. So they've got a ton of depth. And they also, like I said, have depth in the midfield, but I think it's just figuring out those pieces to the puzzle because it's like, they've got so many quality players, but how can they make it work and how can they find cohesion and be dangerous going forward? That's the thing they're missing right now.
Do they have any injury worries to LA?
Right now, no. I mean, Igor Jesus is out for the season and Aaron Long out for the season, but that's not new. So no, they're holding up pretty well. I mean, they've had, you know, long international breaks. The only players that didn't get those breaks were Sun and Bwanga, but I think that they'll be fine. And then they have another huge international break between this round and the next round, which is insane. I mean, Craig, how do you feel about that? Because I know it would be so frustrating for me. You have all this momentum from one round, and then it's like it's like an off season in between the next rounds.
Yeah, it's way too long. Way too long. Trying to keep that momentum going and just being switched off like that. Yeah. It's not easy.
Yeah, but next year it's going to be they're going to join the two windows together, right? October and November. So it won't be broken up as much. Would you prefer that, Cara? Okay, it's going to be a longer window, like 3 weeks maybe, I think, right?
But summer holiday.
Would be broken up.
It's if LAFC wins in two, it could be like 20 days between their last game and the next one.
Yeah, that's insane. Like
so you're
trying to get up to these games too, right? This whole best of three thing, I mean.
It's crazy. Why are not just doing two for all of them on aggregate, like throughout the playoffs?
It works.
It would be the same amount of games, same amount of money for MLS and Apple. I don't get it at all. Imagine Sun being like, okay, wait. So first of all, let me wrap my head around playoffs.
Yeah.
The first round of the playoffs is three games. And there's no, we go straight to PKs. Like the rules change from from round to round. And he's like, so he's going to get through this one and they're going to have to sit him down and he's going to have like an exam on what the next round is like. And how.
But you'd be confused, right? You're like Kirk Mueller was the same way. He was like,
oh yeah.
I've never, like, he didn't know what's going on here. We're playing this. We're playing that.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make sense.
All the new MLS fans from South Korea as well. They're like, yeah. Okay, when's the next game? Like, oh, I have to wait a month. Oh, okay.
Well, they should let Commissioner Messi get it all sorted, right? He was interviewed this past week and he gave his reasons how you improve the league and what needs to happen. It's basically scrap the cap. Scrap all the gams and tams.
Just all my buddies.
Sign who you want, who are, generally speaking, my friends, and bring them over. That's how you solve what's wrong with MLS. I get the impression that Leo's going to be a little bit like Pelé as he gets older and stops playing. Like, he's going to have occasionally be interviewed, have lots of opinions when he's being paid for opinions. But the opinions won't be very good opinions. They won't be very, very educated
or
in
popular.
Many ways.
Yeah.
Or popular. That. Yeah. Although, quite honestly, who likes a cap, right?
Yeah.
Especially when you live in LA or Toronto, when you have a bit of money at the club.
But which teams is that going to benefit? Like, you know, everybody all
Toronto and Miami and New York.
Montreal love it.
LA.
Big fans.
Yeah.
Well, they bring in
the luxury tax.
Exactly. Baseball style, right? And about NBA a week, too, right?
Sharms, you see, about a week and a half ago, a mural went up of Sun that's taking over like a whole side of a building. How much Sun is like being displayed all over the place right now, Kara?
I mean, he's everywhere. He's also just doing appearances with like he was with the Dodgers. He was with the Rams. I think he's set to go with hang out with the Chargers next, which is funny because there's two football teams in LA. But like, you know, I think he was at a Lakers game. He's just all over right now. And when I say like, I think he's going to be here for a while, it's because he's clearly having the time of his life. Like, he is living it up. He's always got a smile on his face. I think no matter where he'd be, he would have a smile on his face, but he is making the most of his time in LA.
And $12 million a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty good.
It helps, right? Yeah. Second highest behind Messi, isn't he?
Yeah.
Followed by Busquets. And Miguel Amarin makes $7.87 million. Yeah.
Well, the amount of shirts that he sells.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he's for it, right?
That's got to be, he'll sell more in jerseys than $12
million. And LAFC's shirts are like, their kits are great. That black and gold is tremendous.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, all of it. Everything they do in terms of marketing is very high level. Everything always looks so sharp.
Is Sun getting more press than LA Kings players?
Yeah. But that's not very hard. Hockey's pretty low on the totem pole.
Yeah, that's my question, right? It is. Yeah.
Like, ooh, don't say that.
Pardon?
Don't say that up here. They think it's a fucking be all and end all.
It's literally a struggle for two.
Yeah.
We're triggering Craig now. He's going to go off in one.
You're triggering.
Question should be, is he as popular as Otani?
Worldwide, yes.
Yeah.
I think so. In LA, no. I mean, Otani is like, it's insane and deserved. Like, watching him at the game when he walks up, the charisma that guy has, it is insane. Like, he lives for that moment. And then not only that, just like, the way he walks up to the plate and then he just hits home runs like it's easy. Like that 18 inning game, I can't remember who was pitching. Okay, I think he hit two home runs, but it was like they were great pitches and it didn't matter. Like he is just, it's just like gone easy. Like he's absolutely unstoppable and it's crazy to watch, but it makes sense. Like he is a god here and for good
0-7 since though. 0-7 since the 18 innings.
I mean, you savage handled him, but
yeah, got him figured out. This is going to sound terribly racist, and I do apologize. But because they're
I'm here for you, Sharms.
Thanks, pal. Yeah, you tell me if this is racist, but because they're from different countries. But do Sonny and Otani, like, do they hang? I mean, they've looked up the Asian market from selling shirts and the branding.
They just need Wonger there. Then we've got it all.
They did like a PR thing and they were Yeah, like there was like a thing where they met and they took photos together and stuff. Okay. But I don't.
There's
I don't
still know. Some crazy, you know, the history Chinese. Of Japan imperialism yeah. in oh, I know. Asia. So the yeah. Chinese, like I wasn't, I've told Craig this, but my dad didn't want me to eat sushi because he said the what they did to us and as a Chinese man, and Koreans feel the same way. So it'll be interesting. Just so you know.
It's water under the bridge now.
They smile for the camera for their little PR moment, but who knows?
Well, they're both class individuals for sure. Yamamoto, another guy, absolutely class.
What a pitcher he is, by the way. I'm a bit concerned about that tonight.
Tomorrow night.
Pitching three games. Like you said, Cara, in this era. Oh, yeah, sorry, tomorrow night. In this era, a complete game from a pitcher, back-to-back, you just don't see it anymore.
No,
you didn't see seven innings, barely.
That's crazy. I mean, I was waiting for some, you know, it just seems like every chance they get, they're like trying to get cute with the changes. I mean, that was part of why in the 18-inning game, like why they were in such a bad spot was because of the changes that they made too early. Mm-hmm. They pulled the trigger way too quickly, and then they left themselves with nobody. And that just seems like it happens all the time. And again, I don't know a ton about baseball, but I'm sitting here with Ricky and he's like, what's happening? Like, who told them to make that change? And it's definitely a bunch of people with iPads, like in the tunnel making these calls. And it's just, that's why when you see that, like when you see Savage going seven innings, it's like, oh my God, they're letting him do it. They're letting him do it. Like keep like, don't mess with it kind of thing.
To hell with the nerds. Well, go with the eye. You know, I'm with nerds.
You're a nerd.
Analytics. I'm not smart enough to be a nerd.
Oh, that's true.
Okay. Nothing worse than a dumb nerd.
Hey, look, Dubsy has joined us. Hey, Dubsy. Is that what Amy was stuck in a train, for those wondering.
Is she here?
Jimmy was with us too. Yep, she's about to join us. Hey, there she is.
Hi, friend. Hey. Anybody ask about Sun at LAFC? Anybody? No. Yeah. I don't have any questions. I don't have any questions then.
We've actually been talking about baseball the whole time.
We're a lot, actually. I think it may be more baseball than football for
it's
sure.
It's close. We're on the cusp.
And so for the listeners, Jimmy was here. Jimmy actually, his computer's died. He was here. He was ready to go. And then he just cut out. So he's having some technical issues there. But it's been half an hour. So Dubs, thanks for joining us. But we've got to take it by the car.
Okay.
You can stick around. You can stick around. Cara, thanks so much. Yeah, enjoy the game. I'm quite envious, but you should find your way into the stadium, I'm sure.
Hopefully.
Quite easily. Just wear your Ricky Romero shirt.
Outside the stadium.
Holler at us. We'll just meet you at some bar if you can't get
okay.
in.
All okay. Right. Sounds good. Yeah. Bye, guys.
See ya.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye, Amy.
Nice seeing you.
Dubsy, so you're back from Ottawa, right? Was it Ottawa or where was it from?
No, I just arrived in Ottawa.
Because you are hosting panels around the Pitch documentary, which is all about the formation of the NSL. Yourself, correct. Diana, and the directors and producers. How was it last night?
It was two nights ago in Montreal. It's okay. It was Tuesday night. You've been elbows deep in pies. Not Tony's, just in general.
Oh, jeez.
Trade shows, actually. Far more exciting than that.
We haven't dropped a swear word. Dubs is on for 2 minutes, and she's already talking about pies, not Tony's.
But no, Tuesday went really well. The Roses were there, and the panel was Diana Matheson, Michelle Hoser as the director of the Pitch, and Marinette Pichon, the sporting director for the Roses. And then trying to drum up interest, obviously, for the Roses playoff match on Saturday, which is in competition with lots of other Montreal sports teams. So trying to get people to Stade Boreal because they're hosting AFC Toronto, Supporters Shield winning AFC Toronto. And then tonight we'll see myself again moderating with Dee and Michelle and then Christine Sinclair, who was just inducted into the Canadian Sports Hall of Fame, and Desi Scott. So I don't have to do anything.
And where's this in Ottawa?
Panels, go. Pardon me?
Where's this in Ottawa? Where's the location? If people were listening and wanted to get the tickets or...
I will tell you. I just arrived at the hotel. I'm pretty sure it's at the Museum of... Ottawa Art Gallery.
Oh.
Ottawa Art Gallery on... I think it's sold out, though. if I'm not mistaken. But you should look out, because I think the film, after it makes all of its kind of stops on this tour, I think after Ottawa is Halifax. Shireen Ahmed is hosting that one. Kate McKenna, that I do the TSN broadcast of NSL, she's hosting it Wednesday, I think November 12th in Toronto. So kind of a lead-in to that final. And then after that, it'll be available, I think, whether it's TSN or RDS, or you can find it. But you should check it out, because it's a great film. And the way that I describe it, I think other people have described it as well, is it's, yes, it's all about Diana, her relentless pursuit to kind of start this domestic lead that we needed for a really long time. But it's also a love letter to the Canadian women's soccer team, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, but they're crap right now.
The past.
Oh, okay, the past. Okay, sorry. Oh, that's harsh. That's too harsh. I'm sorry. Every team goes through its ebbs and flows. It's okay. They'll figure it out. They will.
Three losses for the first time since 2019. In a row. Great, yeah.
It's not great. Just little
thank goodness for our under 17 team.
Yeah. 6-0 over Zambia.
So they are playing who now?
Brazil.
I think Brazil.
Oh, yeah. Is Brazil, I'm assuming it's a decent under 17 team. Is it a favorite under 17 team? Anyone know?
I don't know.
I would expect they'd be decent, yes.
Would be watching. I was watching their under 12. Yeah, I was watching their under 12 team, their under 14 team. So I would assume that they're under 17.
It sounds creepy, Wonger.
I was 500 feet away. So.
Well, you had to be, because your ankle bracelet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My wrist lock, my ankle lock.
Jeffrey Wonger.
Oh, Greg, why don't you come over tonight? We'll eat some really ice cream tastes weird. Yeah,
I'm too old for you.
He's not allowed to eat sushi, but he can eat human. No problem at all. You go right ahead. Yep. What else should we get to? Oh, you know what? So Juventus are either about to or have signed Luciano Spalletti as the new coach. Obviously affects Jonathan David a lot. He's not had a great start to the season under Igor Tudor. Let's blame the coach. So in comes Spalletti Craig, who does like attacking football, does like the high press, seems to check some boxes that perhaps would work for John David, having seen him succeed under Jesse Marsh. Not to compare Spalletti with Jesse Marsh, but sometimes a new face, some new ideas, new energy can inspire the troops, right? That's why they do it. Do you think it's a good move for John David?
Well, we'll find out. I mean, he started on the bench yesterday in their 3-1 win, I believe it was. Got on in the 77th minute. They ended up winning that, 3-1. And it's a good result for them. But for him, slow start in France, adapting to that Italian league, better standard defending. And it's going to take him some time to adjust, but I'm still very confident that he'll get there in the end. And like you said, new manager, new lease of life.
Craiger, what's that time like? Like, how in your mind, how long does he have before the shirts start turning the other way around? Like, how long does he have? Does he have a year? Does he have 6 months? Like, where is this? Is it the end of the season? Is it about how he does in champions? All that kind of stuff.
All that stuff. But I mean, he's got to get it going pretty soon, or otherwise he'll be a regular bench player, because they're not going to mess around with that if he doesn't perform and adjust to it. I just feel that he's already got there to the point where the Juventus fans are already wondering about the signing and don't think it was a good idea, blah, blah, blah. So there's a lot of pressure on him, and how he deals with that is a different level of being under the microscope than it was in France, big time. And that's going to be something we'll keep a close eye on.
Yeah, I also think, too, one of those goals to kind of ice the victory, to make it 3-1, to kind of double that gap there, to see them through the victory, because that was desperately needed from a team standpoint for Juventus, right? Is that John David, when you think about his years spent at Lille, he's the talisman. He's the guy that's looked to. And if he ever was in a spell, we know he's a slow starter at the beginning of the year. Takes a little while to get going. That's not kind of uncharacteristic to the way he operates and the way he kind of bags goals. But sometimes as that striker, if you're the one that's looked to finish on the spot, that can be, even if you're like, oh, discounted goals, it's from the spot. It still is padding your stats, padding your total, and could lend itself a lot to your confidence brimming. So he doesn't have that because he's at a new setup as well. So it's like an added hurdle. You know what I mean? I think it's part and parcel with going to a new setup, a new challenge, an environment where people don't know you and don't take things for granted in the positive sense, where you can be leaned on to carry a team. So he has to prove all that. So he's in a difficult spot, I think.
I do.
Yeah. And also, you don't want him to be tagged as one of Tudor's signings, the old guy signings who didn't make it, was fired. That's what you don't want, that association. And until he turns it around, that might happen because the team was so poor under Igor Tudor. So, you know, you want him to earn some minutes, right, under Spalletti, who has, you know, worked with some of the best players ever. He's at Roma twice, worked with Francesco Totti there.
At Napoli as well?
Napoli as well, yep. The Azzurri Italy, right, as well?
Yep, of course.
So this guy's been around the block, but a fantastic manager. So hopefully it works out for him. All eyes on John David. Meanwhile, Tani Oluwase got a hat trick for Villarreal against Ciudad Lucena.
We had Y Dad at the Club World Cup, and now it's
See you, Dad. See you, Dad.
See you, Dad.
See you, Dad. Yeah, it was a cup game, right?
Yeah, exactly. Low division. Yeah. Who cares? It's a hat trick. You mentioned confidence there, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. You'll take it.
Yeah, I never had confidence as an athlete because I wasn't really an athlete. You guys were. I mean, who cares who you're scoring against, right? Not that you score very often, Craig, but Dubs, you did at times, I'm sure, even from the defensive midfield.
At the club, yeah, not with the national team.
No, but... no. How many goals do you score for the national team?
We don't need to talk about that.
No, listen,
we don't need to dive into my strike rate.
That wasn't her
five.
Role.
Five and 102. Games.
Not great.
That wasn't your job. You had people like, I don't know, Charmaine Hooper and Christian Sinclair and that guest we just had on.
Right? That's right.
Ricky Romero's wife is what she referred to.
Ricky's known as Carl Lang's.
No, I know. This is the first time we told Cara we're gonna put Ricky Romero's wife for our Blue Jay segment. And she was okay with it.
She's saying that they haven't got tickets yet, but hoping to get tickets for the games. Like, yeah, you're going to get tickets for the game.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
They'll be fine.
They better be.
But wait, I was going to say, we're taking us off topic slightly, but going back to Cara, did she talk about her, or did you guys bring up her social media post? Like, she's getting into, like, TikTok more and, like, doing these posts talking about LAFC. He did? Okay, and did you talk about the one where it was like, when people say, I don't know ball?
Yeah. Yeah, and she goes,
I love it.
My dad called me and said, why do you think you have to? And I was like, oh my God.
Ryan Lang did?
Yeah, yeah.
Same Brian Lang who called Facebook Face Page when he was starting his yoga studio.
On the net.
That's something Jimmy would do.
He's a lovely man.
Yeah. Now was it him who was the ex-ball player, or was it his her grandfather?
No, she said her father was the minor league baseball player. Yeah.
Yeah. But she knows nothing about it. But she certainly knows enough about the Blue Jays.
You know what? It'll be interesting to see whose kids, the Walsh and O'Connor kids versus the Romero and Lang kids, which those are like bred for athleticism.
A little rivalry there, huh?
Yeah. Or just dorkiness.
Watching Soleil's, like her youngest, her daughter, like absolutely tear apart the soccer pitch. I wouldn't be surprised if she turned into like an absolute beast on the field. And Sebastian's right into the baseball. Diego, I think, is the middle. Like, who knows, right? I mean, but that gene pool is something to behold.
Yeah, decent. Although they both got injured quite early in their careers.
Oh, geez.
Charms.
Well, just saying that they're both legends, but they're a bit like Marco van Basten, right? Absolute legend, but I don't think that's harsh.
What are you trying to say? They're going to break down?
I just hope they stay healthy is what I'm saying when they get older, you know? And
I don't think it's harsh. It's harsh. The three of us will say that's kind of harsh.
It's so harsh.
There's no need to go there.
Nostra Sharmis is throwing out some deets here.
Nostra Sharmis.
Holy jeez.
Nostra Sharmis. No, I hope not.
And 2058, an injury too, Nogs.
Oh, God.
I should probably end the show now.
But I wanted to just mention one more thing, just because I was just trying to look it up. Remember we had the gambling professor on who had written a book. It was your connection.
Gambler.
It was just
Declan Hill.
Declan Hill, and I just found it so interesting. Go back and listen to that podcast if you want to do a little archive searching in Footy Prime, only because it's coming all out. NBA has a gambling issue. The Turkish commissioner, what was more than half of the referees in the Turkish league have a gambling, an account with an app, a gambling app. And so you're sitting there going, if that's happening here, it's got to be happening everywhere, right? And we're at that point where the rubber hits the road and they're going to have to make some decisions and we're fine. We don't, we're not part of any league. So any gambling apps who want to sponsor us, we're good.
We're available.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You want to go down that road of gambling and they promote it on TV now. Before they stayed well away from it.
Yeah.
You're just going to put more fuel on the fire. It's going to happen more often than,
It was interesting. They did a breakdown of Terry Rozier and why, I think it's Terry, why he got caught. And it was from a friend. One of his friends said, "Hey, are you playing tonight?" or something like that. And he goes, "No, I don't know if I'm playing. I've got a," but then they saw him twist his ankle. And that was where it all started, because all the bets, it's all algorithmically searched. And so there was way more bets on Terry Rozier not finishing the game. And that's how they figured it all out. And that's why he's in trouble. So allegedly.
Yes.
Allegedly. So,
okay. Well, listen, that's Footy Prime. My thanks to Carl Lang for joining us. Are we on tomorrow, Wonga? You said it on the dark web saying.
We're on if I was going to reach out to Asa, as long as the Whitecaps are. I think we can always have an Asa on to have a chat with about the Whitecaps, because we have no one in Vancouver. So maybe we'll reach out real quickly and see if Asa and Colin can jump on again or something like that. But otherwise, we might take the day. We'll see.
We'll leave you hanging,
everyone.
Yes.
You got to be at the bar at 5 o'clock, because otherwise everything is going to be lined up.
Oh, that's true.
It's going to be busy. Yeah, I'm not going to the bar tomorrow night. No chance.
You got pies too, Phil.
On my couch. Not at 8 p.m. I won't. I'm more. What time? It's probably 7 tomorrow, isn't it? 7:30? Or is it 8?
8 o'clock.
We have to announce, I think only one of us stayed up for the 18-inning game. Right?
I stayed up.
Gregory Forrest.
Yes.
Yeah.
I made it to like 1:30. And then for us, I checked the next morning. It was like 2:15. He's like, "Anyone still with me?"
Yeah.
Slow. Crickets.
Well, that's usually when Craig starts walking
through in the morning. It was like, I tell you what, when he hit the home run, it was like turning off a porno.
Relief? I'm trying to figure what.
Once you're finished, you're like, it was off as fast as that.
Quick. Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, okay.
That's gone about a minute and a half for you, right?
Oh, no postscript.
No need for that one anymore. Click.
Oh my God.
Oh, we gotta go really before Craig offends us all further. Okay. Later. See you sometime. Bye.
Check out the broadcast room, because NSL semifinals starting on the weekend.
That's
right. Saturday and then Tuesday. So check out that drop, I think, just today on YouTube, and then the full podcast yesterday.
And if you can, go see Amy Walsh and the pitch at the Art Museum of Canada.
You're the Ottawa.
The Art Gallery of Canada. It's the Art Gallery of Canada you're going to.
Wonger doesn't know where that is.
I do. I did an event
Ottawa
there.
Ottawa Art Gallery. Ottawa on Art Gallery. Mackenzie King.
Yeah.
Mackenzie King Bridge, whatever. That's where I'll be. Yes. This evening.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Like and subscribe. God damn it. We don't, after 6 years, our closes don't get any better, do they?
No. Keep on newspapers. And remember, stop, please, to turn please off stop. Your pornos.
Please, someone press stop. Stop
the call. Greg is already napping. He's been watching other things while we're talking.
Let's stop. Wonga, please stop recording.
I can do
it's
it.
The only way.